Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this glorious day. We thank you for this safe place to be in and to be able to worship you without persecution. So, God, with that privilege, prick our hearts, transform us, have us walk in your direction always. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you. If not, let them fall to the ground as rubbish. In your son's name I pray. Amen. So welcome to week three of Rewired. This one is titled, I Have a Giant Problem. Okay, good. Let's just go right. Plane crashes, wars, right? Hurricanes, human trafficking, poverty, addiction, violence, genocide. Welcome to Faith Community Church of West Michigan. Yeah, we are a happy place. But we're really, sometimes you just get tired of being a human being. All the tragedies and the nonsense. Human beings are limited. We're frail. We're weak. We try to fix problems, but they keep popping back up again. And we can't completely stop the list that I gave you, or just add to them the ones that come to your mind. It's just helpless. So for these short 5 weeks compared to our last series and the next, this is a short 5 week series. We're coming off the high of Easter. We're still in the Easter season, by the way. And we're going to look at the challenges of being a human being and how the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ meets us there, meets us in our weakness, meets us where we are. And so I'm gonna kick the series off with this message off with a quiz. These are people I'm gonna name off. They're mentioned in the Bible. So I need you to tell me what they did. Here you go, you ready? I have to look at the list because I don't know, and these probably are not pronounced correctly, but how are you gonna know? Right? So Sether, Egal, Palti, Gadi, Emil, Nabi, Shamua, Shaphtha, and Gadaliel. Who are those people? They're in the Bible. Who are they? I'm going to give you another chance. It's going to give you a clue. Two names, Joshua and Caleb. What did they do? That's right. Back there, this yelled it out, spies. That's where I envisioned it coming from, Michael, is right back there. It did not happen. So I must not, this is my bad ear. So they were spies, okay? You don't ever meet anybody named the rest of that list, but Joshua and Caleb, you've run into a few, right? Yeah. Well, there's a reason why, and I'm foreshadowing the story, but let's just remember the Israelites had been in slavery for 400 years. The 10 miracles, right? The call from God on Moses to lead, they were set free. They were set free after 400 years. And what happened after that? Well, they went on a journey that should have been mere days, but they ended up wandering for, count them, 40 years. Because of what? They're grumbling. That should be the end of the message there. We're done. No. But the time finally came for them to come to the promised land. They're going to claim it. Here's the land of Canaan. Many of gospel songs have been saying, entering the land of Canaan. That's modern day Israel. Well, this is the land that God had promised them years earlier, generations earlier. They got there, and Moses asked 12 people to go spy on the land. Look what he asked. See what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. What kind of land do they live in? Is it good or bad? What kind of towns do they live in? Are they unwalled or fortified? How is the soil? Is it fertile or poor? Are there trees or not? Do your best to bring back some of the fruit of the land. Now, I just have to give Moses some props here. You got to write that down, right? There's a lot of stuff they get it, but what do you sense in that? I sense hopefulness. I sense Moses is saying, this is going to be good, guys. And I want you to list all the cool things about it. How's the soil? Isn't that an interesting question? Because we're going to have to live there. We're going to have to grow things to eat. Moses fully expected that the discoveries of the spies was going to confirm the plan that God had revealed to him. God said, I'm going to give you a new land and a new start. And so what do you think? This is going to be a mountain, but I think Moses was pretty confident that with God's help they were going to achieve that dream that had been driving them across the barren Sinai desert for 40 years. He was confident. He sent these 12 spies in, fully confident that they would return with wonderful news. Think of the times, I just think of the times when we've moved to a new house. There's a certain excitement there of the possibilities. Some people have a baby, and that's an exciting thing to look forward to or to experience. A new community, there's anticipation, there's expectation. But the 10 that you're not going to hear me read again came back with this news. They gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is its fruit. But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. Now, talk about a hope killer, right? That's not really glowing. That last statement was just declaring giants. In that time, we're not going to go here because that's a whole other. The Nephilim, remember them in Genesis? Really tall race of human. The Anakites were very large people, probably descendants of the Nephilim. That's a whole other topic in itself. So, but regardless, these giant people and the walls scared the 10 spies. They were terrified. They saw themselves still as nomadic wanderers, as desert livers, if that's a word. It had become their identity. And we have, sometimes we have those moments where we have giant problems. Some of you are living that today with babies coming and graduations, and you got financial worries, and you just got the real world in general. Business problems, giant relationship issues. Well, that's what this series is about. We're calling it Getting Through What You're Going Through. It's easy to get pessimistic sometimes. You try something, you fail. So you're gun-shy to try something different later. I've got a sign in my office. It says, no sense in being pessimistic. It wouldn't work anyway. Caleb and Joshua had a different perspective. Here's what happened. Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. Okay. Hello. Hello. That's one out of the 12 that is coming forward. He's got optimism. We like this guy, don't we? But how is it possible that they had such different views? And I want to work through a phrase, just gradually add words to it as we go. And it shows us how we need to change our attitudes when it comes to facing those giants. It starts this way. This is how we're going to have an optimistic worldview like Joshua and Caleb. What I see. Moses sent his 12 best spies into the new land to bring back a report. All the years of slavery, they dreamed about this promised land. You don't think they talked about it every day? I mean, you would have to. This was promised to Abraham in Genesis 15. After 400 years, some I'm sure had wondered if it was just a folklore, just a legend. This isn't going to happen. It was their inheritance that they had due them for those 400 years. Every person thought that. Now, God did tell them that it would be flowing with milk and honey. That's what, as a reminder, the land does flow with milk and honey. But, there's the big word, the people who live there are powerful and the cities are large and fortified. They saw with their own eyes, remember, they see. They saw with their own eyes God's promise that you could touch and feel, but they still couldn't be optimistic. They saw powerful and established cities. Now, Caleb, on the other hand, saw this exact same thing, but his perspective was different. God gave the coordinates to Abraham. I see that clue. It'll be flowing with milk and honey. I see that clue. I see that it checks out. What does Caleb say? We should go up and take possession of the land. For certainly we can do it. How do you see your world? It's important to answer that question, because what I see, the continuation of that, what I see is what I think. Now, the spies were obviously thinking about that, because why? We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people are of great size. Again, with the big people, you know? Can I get away from that? I think in this case, we have a tendency to say sometimes that my circumstances have me down. It's what's happening to me. Well, your circumstances don't have you down. Your thoughts about them do. Okay? Same circumstances by two different sets of spies. We have to choose to think positively. Now, during his slave years, Caleb trained his mind to dwell on what was pure and lovely and a good report. Sounds like of New Testament thoughts, right? That Paul helped us with. And what's so amazing about Caleb is that even though his opinion was ignored, it was, by the way, flash forward, he never gave in to the negative thoughts. He never gave up. He never quit. And how many people submit to quitting after one minor setback or crossword? It happens. It's like two shoe salesmen that go to the remote island. This is an old joke, but it's a perfect joke. They both see that everyone there on this island has bare feet. First salesman comes back and reports, "Stop the order, nobody wears shoes here." Second salesman says, "Send every shoe you got, nobody wears shoes here." Okay? Yeah, that's what you get. So what I see is what I think is what I feel. So some of you are pushed back that's saying that feelings control you. I get that. Feelings and emotions are complicated. And there are times in which chemical imbalances happen in the brain. Having said that, there is a reason that God says it this way in Romans 12. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Now, God is telling you that transformation starts where? In the mind. It's very clear. That's where it starts, in what you think. He's saying what you think about is what often guides you. I bet if your emotions were sad, and I just told you won the lottery, you had to play it first, but just in case, your feelings would change about what you were going to do with that money. God was wanting to give them the lottery inheritance of this promised land. Here it is. Seeing the land, seeing the giant people who live there, seeing the fortified cities is one thing. Thinking it's risky and dangerous is another thing. But negativity always slides eventually into the feeling low. Look what they said. We seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes. How do you feel today? I feel like a grasshopper. I feel like I've been walked on all day. I feel like people don't even notice me. I don't have any friends. I'm just a pest to other people. How many people have or have known people that have taken a negative issue and just turned sour because they needed to think about that negative issue differently? And if you leave it unchecked, what I think is what I see is what I feel is what I do. Negativism becomes poisonous, not just in yourself, but in your community, and it's destructive. They didn't just think of it, they didn't just feel it. Now it affected the whole camp, and it affected what they did. At the beginning of Numbers 14, the people in the community raised their voices and wept. All the Israelites grumbled against Moses and Aaron. Notice we're going verse by verse here. If only we had died in Egypt or this desert. Why did the Lord bring us here to die by the sword? Our wives and children will be plundered. We should choose a new leader. Okay, it took them four verses to get to Moses. Negative people who see the world negatively through that negative lens can affect a whole lot of others. That's where grumbling starts. It's no longer a private thing. It's not just you being grumpy. It's this attitude affected what the whole nation of Israel was going to do. How did Moses handle it? Did he call a town meeting? Did he answer their objections one by one? Did he ignore it? Did he offer to send a new squad in to do some further recon? Nope. Here's what he did. His action changed. Moses and Aaron fell face down in front of the whole assembly gathered there. Caleb and Joshua tore their clothes. The leadership was at their wit's end. You can't have an organization that is effective when that split happens. What I see is what I think, is what I feel, is what I do, is who I become. A negative attitude can determine your future, can establish an identity. Negative attitudes always have negative consequences. Because of their negative attitudes and their negative visions, a whole generation was forced to wander for 40 years in the desert, in the wilderness, never reaching their home. They always saw giants. They thought the giants were too strong. They felt like little grasshoppers compared to them. So they started living that out by choosing to still act like slaves. So that's where they stayed for the next 40 years. They became what their negative attitude started. I see a lot of people do that, and they stay wallowed, and it's like spinning your tires in the snow. It just, you don't go anywhere. The harder you press. So how do we change that? Yeah, I should have told you how many of these there were going to be. But we change it by, again, this is the what I see is what I think is what I feel is what I do is who I become. You may be thinking, okay, this is starting to sound like a Tony Robbins self-help talk. It's not. I need to just change what I see, and then how I think and feel and I do will become more positive against my giants. No, it's way more than that. It's way more than that. Before we go on, we need to ask why Joshua and Caleb were able to have such a different perspective when they spied. They spied at the same time, right? It's because how they said that first line differently. Joshua and Caleb said that the phrase this way, what I believe is. They put the emphasis on what I believe is. What I see is what I think, is what I feel. It's what I do is who I become. That's the difference between a Christ follower and a positive thinker. What you believe affects everything. It informs how you see things and how you process things. And it leads to a whole chain of reactions from a completely different starting point. Not just what I see, but what I believe is. The spies didn't believe that God was in control, right? Why else did they come back with that report? So they saw a good land that was filled with milk and honey, but also had powerful giants and walled cities. Joshua and Caleb believed that God was bigger than any giant that ever was ever created, and therefore they saw the same land and said, let's go. It's time. Their worldview was rooted in deep faith in a loving God, so they saw their circumstances through spiritual eyes. They had eyes to see the opportunities that faith would provide. They were able to see beyond the obstacles. And they never dimmed. Even after 40 years of useless tramping around the desert, when God opened the door, they acted on it. Let me show you what I mean. 45 years have passed, and here's what Caleb says in Joshua 14. I was 40 years old when Moses sent me in to explore the land. And I brought back a report according to my convictions, but my brothers made the people's hearts melt with fear. I, however, followed the Lord wholeheartedly. So here I am today at 85 years old. I'm just as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me the hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourselves know the Anakites, with their large fortified cities were there. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out. Hey, Caleb, He didn't lose a step, did he, in 40 years? Caleb's confidence was not in his great warrior skills, although he points to them there. That wasn't his greatest confidence. His confidence was when he said, "But the Lord helping me." It was in the power of God is where his confidence lay. A constant strain of negativity stems from a lack of belief that Jesus really is the Savior and Lord of all. He's not just your companion that sits next to you. The really awesome, powerful message of Christianity is that no matter how your attitude developed or why it's part of your life, you always have an attitude choice. You can gain altitude by letting him change your attitude. Faith is not faith when everything's going your way. It's when you are in the shadow of a giant problem towering over you that faith really becomes real. It's when we feel least equipped, I've found. When we feel weak, when we feel frail, when we feel human, when we get a chance to truly see if we believe the power of the resurrected Jesus is living in us. It's in great moments of weakness that he shows us his strength. I started this message with naming these names, Seth, and I'm not going to do it. They are mentioned in this story right alongside Joshua and Caleb. But nobody remembers those names. Nobody. Joshua and Caleb, on the other hand, didn't look at the situation with fear and with cowardice. And they made a huge impact on our lives because of their courage and their faith. If you want to make a difference with your life, it starts here and here. What you believe is what you see, is what you think, is what you feel, is what you do, is who you become. A true follower of Jesus Christ. That's my prayer for you today and always, in Jesus' name. Lord, bring us into this week remembering that you are our Lord and Savior. That left to our own devices, negativity can change people around us, not just our own hearts, but people around us. So help us live a life of joy, not phony happiness, but joy. That when others see us, they see you. In your name we pray. Amen.